So just a quick recap, how did this start? Dieter and Harald, I'm told, started on the BS11 ABIS project, or just trying to get some BS11 BTS to work for them. And it continued to BSC hack and onto openbsc.git. And that's all that basically I gathered from the preface of the Osmocom manuals, because I wasn't there yet. I joined at this third stage. Openbsc.git was the hub of Osmocom cellular network infrastructure. And basically, it was as simple as this. You have some BTS and the Osmo NITB program, which had a subscriber database based on SQLite. So simply enough, and just keep this image in mind for later, because it's going to change a lot. So it's obviously not that simple. There was also the packet switch side, the SGSN. And so what springs to mind already is that the SGSN had some GSUB protocol to proxy to a map. And this is, of course, for the subscriber database. GSUB is an Osmocom invention that's sort of a simplified map. And it started out meaning GPRS subscriber update protocol. And so it's obvious here that we have separate subscriber databases between NITB and SGSN. And that's a problem, or that's not very nice. And the SGSN also used to have, like, accept all policies and stuff like that. But what we really want is ciphering keys, like authentication and ciphering keys, tokens managed once for both. So the obvious step, so this is not necessarily in chronological order, it's just a logical breakdown of what it ended up being. But I think this is even pretty much chronological. The HLR was the first split off from the NITB, a common subscriber database, the home location register. So the GSUB no longer means GPRS subscriber update protocol, it means generic subscriber update protocol. And so this was still an openbsc.git working on a branch. We had separate home location register and proper VLR inside the NITB. So at this stage already, we have three key new features. So we have this common home location register. We have asynchronous communication with the subscriber database. Before, the NITB process would stop, look up subscriber data, and then go on, so we could technically block. And the HLR also brought the support for millenage authentication tokens, also known as AKA, UMTS AKA. So AKA, the capital ones means, geez, now I forgot, authentication and key exchange algorithm, what?
Key agreement.
Key agreement, that's it. And the small one means also known as. Right, so what we also wanted was 3G. And so the HNB here denotes a 3G cell. Actually, more accurate would be the home node B gateway, the HNB GW. But so here we have the NITB, which is a BSC and an MSC together, and an SMSC and whatnot. So where do you plug it to? We have this ABIS, which is sort of outside of the BSC, so that's not a nice place to add 3G support. So somewhere we need to put this IUCS, and basically then it was obvious that we need to cut the NITB in half, and the parts that were BSC and MSC would have to be separate. And also obvious was that we also still had the Osmo BSC, a separate program using only the BSC part of the NITB to talk SCCP Lite to a third-party MSC. So we kind of have a BSc, a separate one, but we only had the MSc and BSc, so no separate MSc. So it made sense to, you know, rearrange it a little bit to this. So this looks already quite different. We still have the HLR on the left and the BT on the right and the BTS on the left. And now we have a separate Osmo BSc, and we taught it to talk A interface to the MSc. And the Osmo MSc program still has the MSc and the VLR like before. It was actually omitted here in the NITB circle. We had the MSc, the SMSc, and the VLR. The 3G home node B has a proper connection point, IUCS, to the MSc. And same goes for the SGSN. And now on the bottom, you might have noticed what was previously the Osmo BSc talking SCCP Lite. It now became the Osmo BSc dash SCCP Lite to indicate that it's the legacy Osmo BSc. This SCCP Lite one is still an open bsc.git, and the proper one that we want to be supporting and using from now on is an open dash bsc.git. Let's just add. Okay, so what we have here now is 3G support. We have a proper true A interface, and that means we can also interface to third party MSCs. Over SCCP over M3UA, which is the proper 3GPP specified way of doing A interface. So just quickly, the Git repositories for later reference, I guess. So the osmobsc.git, osmoioh.git, well, basically it should illustrate that now it's not openbsc.git, but it's lots of separate Git repositories and their own separate projects going on independently. And the SCCP Lite one's still in the old openbsc.git. So that's what it really looks like now. Quite different from the beginning. What so far I didn't mention was the media gateway, which we pair up with the MSC and also the BSC now to route RTP streams. Before, we used to do that internally. And also, I didn't mention the STP, some, yeah, what is it? It's just a quite trivial, well, not so trivial, but conceptually quite trivial routing between SCCP point codes. So everything subscribes with the SCP, and then they can talk to each other, sort of like an IP network subscribing at DHCP, something like that. Yes, so that's what we have these days when we set up an OsmoCom network. It's no longer NITB and you're done. And recently I tested some backports to the old Osmo NITB, and I was pleasantly reminded of the simplicity the whole setup had back then. But of course, the features we have now justify this complexity. Like, again, we have asynchronous subscriber database access, proper Millenar support, we can have 3G in there, interoperability with third-party MSCs, and we can test each part on its own. So speaking of tests, if you don't have tests testing everything, and you change everything in your code, like, what do you get? What's the obvious conclusion? We got it, well, quite obviously on 34C3 last December, where we set up a GSM network. So we used the split components the first time, we added 3G to it, and it was a complete disaster. Like, the MSC crashed like every 15 minutes, and I mean, it was kind of working, and you know, people came in, I can't subscribe, oh, now I can call, and but really it was far from stable. And even like going into setting up the network, I thought about a few things. There was something about paging, have I fixed that? Oh no, I haven't fixed it, better fix it before the Congress. And you know, stuff got concrete, and it was obviously broken. And why? Because we didn't have proper testing. So I'm not sure at which point Harald really started, but I think this Congress disaster really got the TTCN3 testing going that he started on. TTCN3, we'll have a talk on that as well, and tomorrow morning, I hear. And that's what really, really need to get everything stable. So we take complete programs, input messages, and get messages back, and you can run it in Docker images, and already we uncovered a lot of bugs, and we're fixing them. And when it's a lot of work also, but when we're through it, then we can be confident that it's reasonably stable, and we've come back to Osmo NITB stability despite all the new features and having ripped out its guts and reassembled it in different ways. So the unintended bugs aside, there's also some things that obviously are different now. For example, that's still a bit unintended. That I was already on the next slide here. So the MES feed feature in NITB used to put measurement reports to a third program for analysis. And while splitting the MSC from the BSC, that got lost because though it belongs in the BSC, the code was in libmsc, which didn't matter in the NITB because it's all one. But there, not knowing really what it was, I just sort of deleted it and forgot about it. And then later it dawned on us, wait, what? It's gone? Where is it? And so now it's still an open task to re-add it to the Osmo BSC. I started, but in the daily work, I haven't completed it yet. So we need to re-add feeding measurement reports to programs. Currently, A53 has a problem because now we do it properly. We broke it. So before, we didn't really check whether the phone supports A53 or not. We just assumed if the network configures A53, then, well, let's use it. But now we actually try to check the class mark that the subscriber sent and see, well, does it support A53? And if not, then don't use A53. The thing, though, is that this class mark that indicates A53 is not part of the standard location updating message. So when the subscriber comes in, it sends the class mark 2, I think, which doesn't contain this indicator. It only goes up to A51 and the obsolete A52, I think. And so we never know whether A53 is supported from the MS or not, because we don't have this class mark version present. And since we don't have the information, we assume that A53 is not supported. And so currently, we completely thwart A53 configs in the MSC. Obviously, what we need to do is, do I have it on a slide here? No, I've got it later. So basically, the MSC needs to ask the subscriber for the proper class mark in a separate communication and then assert whether to use A53 or not. It's not very difficult, someone needs to do it. And I'm not sure about the state of external MNCC. I just recently heard that it's not, wasn't working properly, but also I heard that it might be fixed. Maybe we can hear something on that later. Right, now the planned or the obvious changes. Since the MSC is separate from the BSC now, we can't know which logical channel or which time slot on which BTS we are using for which subscriber on which call. So before, on the NITB, we could show a summary of this phone number or this MC is using currently for this call, this the BTS 1 and time slot 2 and subslot whatever 0, and this information is no longer available in one place. The MC and the phone number is mostly in the MSC, and the LChans and BTS structs are in the BSC. And if we wanted to show them in one comprehensive view, we would need to add, or the plan is actually to add Osmocom-specific tag-level value pairs, like information elements on our A interface that are only sent when both sides are Osmocom, so that we can collate that information again. So that's basically the same thing. The BSC, it basically gets channel requests or assignment requests, which naturally never, like usually never actually see what the IMSI is or the phone number is. And though the BSC pipes all that DTAP and complete level 3 messages back and forth, it shouldn't really look at them, but of course we can. So one plan of mine is to, actually we also have some filter in there, some old feature that unpacks these messages and gets the IMSI and phone number. Well, I'm not sure about the phone number. I mean, anyway, the IMSI and the TIMSI. So my plan is to get them, read them out of there and put them back in the state. So in the logs, we don't need to say, well, subscriber is unknown, but say this ultra is used by this IMSI currently. So that could be quite useful. Yes. Well, it will sometimes be the TIMSI, and so yeah. For example, if we page for a TIMSI, then we will only get the TIMSI from the MSC. Or if the subscriber comes and it has a TIMSI and does location updating with the TIMSI from last time, we will only have the TIMSI. That's why I also put the TLVs in there. So we might even want to tell the BSC about the actual IMSI, or maybe even the phone number. Or yes, yes. Yeah, so there's some, it's not very complicated work, but, you know, it just needs to be put in place. And sort of the same thing for the IMEI. No, it's not same at all. The IMEI is not known by the network normally unless it asks for it with an identity request, and we have all the parts in place for it in the VLR. We have the messages and everything. The only thing that's missing there is the actual switching on. So it's off by default, and we don't have config items for it yet. So all we need to do is add like 3 flags to the config, and then we would have the IMEI back like we used to in the NITB, which used to, I think, ask for the IMEI by default always. And I wonder if it's on this slide. Oh, yes, and then the IMEI, it would also make sense to pass it on to the HLR so that you can look at the data in one place. And that's also some use case that Keith brought to my attention of Rizomatica, where in Mexico, where they have someone showing up with a phone and they have no idea what their IMSI is, but the IMEI is usually available on the phone information. So if you subscribe and scan the logs for the IMEI, you can easily find out the IMSI without taking out SIM cards and doing stuff like that. So that would be a useful feature for open communal networks. Okay, so Alexander said it's extremely useful to say what to have the IMEI and the HLR in commercial networks for statistics. I wonder if I should mention it here. Like the use case I mentioned now with someone showing up with a phone and subscribing and seeing an IMEI is. It also contains the subscriber create on demand thing, where you sort of allow anyone to show up on your network. But one thing about that is that, of course, then you don't have authentication and ciphering tokens. So for allowing anyone on the network, you would have to not use any authentication nor encryption. And well, thinking further into it, we could possibly, ask for the IMEI and then reject the subscriber because we don't have data. But you know, this use case is still sort of intricate. If you want to have a secure network, then you shouldn't allow it. But if you want to find out the IMEI, things can be done there, but currently you don't have the IMEI at all. That's why it's on the slide. There it is, the subscriber create on demand. So we have issues for all of these. If you open the slides, it's actually a link also on the pre-talks. You can also click on the issues and take a look at their current state if you so desire. Right. Plans and ideas, like what should also come here besides stuff that we broke or deliberately excluded. So far we had the separate Osmo BSC SCCP Lite, like the legacy Osmo BSC. And of course we don't want to carry on backporting features to the old Osmo BSC forever. So what we need is SCCP Lite support in the new Osmo BSC so that you can benefit from the new features and still follow the old architecture. And I'm not so sure about Osmo BSC NAT that still lives in openbsc.git and it's quite excluded or idle in the new Osmo BSC. It's certainly not operational. And it's also a kind of a special program. Yes, so the question is the SCCP Lite for third-party MSCs. So there are MSCs around that don't actually have a true A interface. So some users still require the SCCP Lite. So moving to the new Osmo BSC is not easily possible there. Oh yeah, we actually have a mic for questions. It's a bit more formalized with video recordings, isn't it? Like last year, we would just talk into the room. Transcoding in the Osmo MGW, like that's been a long-standing thing. I noticed this when I implemented dynamic time slots, where I had a network that well, it's not necessary for the first time, but for me, for the first time, I had a network that by definition had both TCHF and TCHH time slots available. And then what I noticed is that it didn't work. Why? Because for some reason, the first phone doing the call came in on TCHF and assigning the MT call leg always assigned TCHH. So then always I had this TCHF, TCHH mismatch between the two phones and the call could never get established because we don't do transcoding. And the solution, well, the workaround there for me was to allow a configuration switch to basically switch off TCHF with OsmoCom dynamic time slots so that you always use TCHH, but of course we want to be flexible on that. So at some point we need some sort of transcoding. Yes?
Another solution might be to use lower modes of AMR, but that's also that's possible. Does not require transcoding, but this requires AMR support in the phones, which is supposedly now supported by all modern phones.
Yeah, well, it's supposedly ubiquitous, but of course that's configuration question. Like we still want to allow TCHF for legacy phones and TCHH, and well, basically we want to stay open to all the codecs and all the legacy stuff and the new stuff. And also thinkable would be to like we do now have late assignment and choose the matching channel type, but for other reasons that I'm not going to go into, having transcoding in the MGW would be desirable and solve a lot of things. I presume also with 3G interop and all that. So far, we still have a database in the Osmo MSC. It used to be the subscriber database, and now it's only the SMS database because SMS is still inside the MSC. And we've been trying to get rid of the libdbd dependency for a long time, and in the HLR we're using SQLite directly now. And this SMS database is still tagging along and keeping libdbd in there, having deprecation warnings in our builds because of that. Right, another nice idea was the Osmo network check tool that, given the complexity, it's like a completely new thought, given the complexity of the network now, have some program that is able to find out which components are working and which aren't, and like telling you where communication stops and if something is wrong, or maybe even help you configure. That so far it's still just an empty idea, no concrete code yet. It's just an issue number there. And also recently there's been talk on simplifying the new split components. For example, don't have the STP in the middle, but incorporate it in the MSC and operate without an MGW like in the old days, like without a media gateway, and stream the RTP directly. So I'm pretty sure I forgot some things here. So if you can think of other use cases that are important in the NITB that you may notice aren't possible or have seen aren't working anymore in the split components, let's talk in the coming days about it. Otherwise, this is my BSS map A interface release request. So are there any questions? You can just keep the mic.
Is accept all modes supported in split architecture right now? Because I remember seeing some issues in the tracker regarding it being not supported.
Are you sure the mic is on? Okay. Say again, is what supported?
Accept all mode.
Accept old mode?
Accept
all mode. Oh, yeah. The accept all subscribers. That's a good one. I forgot. It doesn't exist currently. So it's kind of like the subscriber create on demand. I think in the SGSN you can still configure it like in the old days and bypass the HLR, but the MSC needs an HLR to accept subscribers now.
Is there any issue to, is there any ideas how to get it back?
Well, that would be a new feature to the HLR, basically. So the HLR gets the GSUB request for location updating, and we could add a feature that creates a new database entry as soon as it receives that. But so far, the HLR doesn't do that. So fairly trivial thing to add if it's really needed. It shouldn't be too complex.
Actually, probably you can even do without an HLR database entry. You can just simply send an accept back or do an insert subscriber data with some random number or whatever, or without an MSISDN ever. It depends on what the use case is, but it's definitely an HLR feature.
But you also need to assign a phone number, basically. Well, it depends on the use case, of course. Right. So then, release command. Release complete.
RSLD? No, RLSD.
Yeah, okay, I'm released, thank you.
RLC is then your response.
Is it?
Yeah.
Release clear?
Okay, thanks, Niels.
It's a pleasure.